Up hyperbole for clicks, Twitter followers, and cynical politics.
A federal judge has dismissed Oracle's claim that alleged bid rigging in a $10 billion Pentagon cloud contract. Amazon and Microsoft are the remaining finalists for that deal. Two House committees are discussing delaying public testimony from former special counsel Robert Mueller for 1 week until July 24th to allow more time for Mueller to testify before each committee. The current arrangement limits each hearing to just 2 hours. On Wall Street, stocks continue to rise. The Dow up 159, S&P up 7 points. I'm Mike Moss.
Alternative Talk weather outlook for Friday. We'll see partly sunny skies today and high temperatures, not bad, around 76 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures dropping back down to about 60. For Saturday, much of the same, partly sunny skies, similar temperatures, highs around 74, 75. Saturday night, a mirror image of Friday night, partly cloudy skies, lows dropping down to about 59, 60. For Sunday, though, a few more clouds and a slight chance of rain showers moving into the picture. Other than that, not too bad, partly cloudy skies and high temperatures around 73.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150. Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Epchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change? Welcome to the Christine Epchurch Show. You may be listening live here in the Seattle area on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW, anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio. You might be listening after the fact on one of the, 50, 60 different podcasts that ends up in or on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever and whenever you're listening, we're grateful you've joined us here today. We are going to have a great show. And speaking of vibration of change, we had some vibration in the middle of the night, didn't we, Benny?
Yes. Well said, by the way.
That sounds a little bad, right?
Like
Seattle area from like, felt like down to Olympia all the way up to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, I had just climbed into my bed. I was working late on my website, the new website's about to launch. And I'm like, I climb into bed at 2:45. Oh, I'm so glad I can finally go to sleep. And within 2 minutes, I'm like bouncing in my bed. It was a 4.6. I guess they originally said 4.7.
4.6, 4.7, yeah. Within, a tenth.
Yeah.
Sure it's about the same.
Yeah, and the epicenter wasn't too far away from my home. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, within 10 miles or so.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, Facebook blows up, and then I get up, and I'm like, well, I'm up now. So, yeah. And then I get to work, and then I see your post, and I'm like, well, you might as well stay up and then get back to work with me. So.
Yeah. So it was
kind of
crazy.
I'm sure. Did you get a nap?
I got a little bit of
short sleep,
probably like 3 hours of sleep last night. So,
yeah.
You know, if I
average
can't form
you.
Complex sentences, we'll know why.
Yeah, right?
I'm so excited about our show today because, first of all, I'm a contributing author to a book that is getting launched on Tuesday. Woohoo!
Yeah,
and we are taking on spiritual cliches. We are talking about getting out of the New Age fluff and finding the deeper wisdom of living a spiritual life, living a full life. And I think we really need to focus beyond the spiritual, and we're going to talk about that. And it's funny because, you know, if you're a regular listener, you know I've been talking about spiritual myths, the beliefs that I challenge. I've been talking about this for quite a while, and I'm working on my book. It was originally the top 10 myths about spirituality, but there were so many in the chapter. But wait, there's more. I had to turn it into the top 20, and there are certainly more than 20, but I'm capping it at 20. And so I was, you know, I've been busily working on my book, and I heard from our wonderful Kate Montana, she's been a guest on this show several times. She's an amazing author. She was involved with What the Bleep. She is just this fabulous person and a friend. And she called me up and said, you know what, Christine, I'd really like you to be a part of this book. And I'm like, no, I'm working on my own book, you know. And she's, no, here's the thing. We're going to be sharing personal stories. And Betsy Chassie is involved. And she is like, What the Bleep? And we'll talk about that in a minute. And, So it's like, okay, well, you know, I sort of tuned in. And it's like, no, this feels like a really good team. And my book is more about teaching points, and I've got some personal stories in it. But this book was really about sharing my journey and the bumps and the bruises and the battering that life has brought me, which has been really wonderful. So the book is available now for pre-order. It's coming out on Tuesday. I'm actually offering the audio version of my chapter for those who buy it before the end of the month. But anyway, I want to talk about who these people are who are our guests today. Betsy Chassie. She's an award-winning filmmaker, a best-selling author, and an educator, and she's best known for being the writer, director, and producer of What the Bleep Do We Know? And she's like sought after in so many ways in media, and she's made so many films. And I'm fortunate enough to have her involved with this publishing company and with the marketing of this book. And the other person is Kate Montana. I was just talking about her. And she is a best-selling author. She's a renowned speaker. You know, she talks about the masculine and the feminine, Unearthing Venus, which was the first book I got exposed to Kate's work. And I was just, like, blown away. And also The E Word. Anyway, she's a great editor as well. And I'm grateful to have Betsy and Kate here today. Welcome, both.
Great to be
Hi.
On the show.
You
Hi.
Know, it's funny because I think that sometimes when the world is ready, that multiple people start getting the same information about what needs to be shared, people who are tuned in. And so I love the fact that, you know, I'm focusing on top 20 myths, and you guys are saying we need to transcend these spiritual cliches. And, yes, Kate, you and I had talked a couple of years ago about some of this stuff, but I just think it's so fabulous that it's like when the world is ready, it's there. So, Betsy, what inspired you to tackle this topic?
Well, you know, for me and for Kate, and I'm going to be really honest, we have this company, Rampant Feline Media, and most of the books that we publish come from Kate and I probably having a glass of wine together ranting about something.
I love it.
And so we were on the phone one night, and I don't know, I had seen some pithy meme on Facebook that just completely spiritually bypassed, diminished the whole concept, and then I read a bunch of comments where I realized all these people just, they don't get it. And they don't get it because we've become it's like the McDonaldization of spirituality. It's
Ooh,
like,
I like that, yeah.
If I can drop this down to what used to be 142 characters and try to get it out there, and hopefully I'll help people. And I started to see that it was really doing a lot more damage than it was doing good because we were really missing the point. And,
right.
You know, my chapter in the book is about this idea that one of the memes that I think that I think the meme I was ranting about that night was this meme that, you know, how others react to you isn't your fault.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, well, okay, that's true. But the truth is, if you're a jerk and others are reacting to that, then that kind of is your fault. And there's too many, I've had too many people say, well, sorry that you feel that way. That's your problem. You're feeling
mm-hmm.
your problem. And
yeah.
I just started to realize, you know, this is a problem in this spiritual space. People are not taking personal responsibility for their actions and behaviors and blaming it on the other person. And that was my particular rant that night, I think. And I think Kate had another one, and we thought, uh-oh, I feel a book coming on.
Yes. That's sort of the way this birthing process works, isn't it? So, Kate,
yes.
what has inspired you to start calling out the spiritual cliches for being the cliches, these spiritual beliefs that are being, you know, sold to us as new age sort of like ways to illuminate our journey, when in fact they're cliches that are keeping us stuck in a, you know, dead stuck in our path?
Yeah. My own, like yourself, like Betsy, my own spiritual journey, well, anybody's spiritual journey is a deep, dirty dive, let's face it.
Yep.
It's not an easy road. There are wonderful high points, and yes, there are terrible death valleys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a persistent quest for what's meaningful and deeply true within your own being and what your own being is. And I was just, you know, after 25, 35 years on the spiritual path and my own agony and angsting, mm-hmm. I was like looking at all of these 3-day workshops to enlightenment and, you know, 3 days guaranteed to abundance. You'll get $1,000 the first week after you take this course and you'll find your soulmate to boot.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, the trivialization just gobsmacked me.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is being billed in such a trivial way, seeking and searching and struggling for truth and authenticity.
Yes.
Is being billed as just this easy 3-step process. And I was like, this is doing such a disservice to people.
Right. And on the flip side of that, Kate, it seems to me that it's not just being sold as easy, but also the fact that it's supposed to be hard is also sold. Like, oh, you have to work really, really hard at this, and you need to be meditating this much time a day, and you need to follow, you know, these mantras or these affirmations and do these processes. And it feels like it's either simple solution that doesn't work or working too hard and striving and struggling, which gets in the way of receiving.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because even as I was on my rant, I was like, yeah, but you know, the truth of it is, at the same time, is why does it have to be that hard?
Exactly.
Why am I insisting
exactly.
on that?
Exactly. You know, we've got a lot more to talk about here, and we are going to go to a quick break, but stay tuned for more with Betsy Chassie and Kate Montana here on the Christine Upchurch Show. Vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change. Times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry
Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From experiences, one-on-one coaching, to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com, and listen to the first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific with host Sherry Clark. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biosphere. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Betsy, when I'm thinking about what we three as individuals and the 19 people involved in this book have talked about going through, and I think about my clients, I think about my colleagues, I think about friends and family, it seems like we're at this place of discomfort. And the public arena seems to be kind of chaotic. Why do you think it's so important right now to call these spiritual beliefs by the name cliche?
Well, I think that there's two, in my experience, there's two things. One, we're all exhausted. I can totally appreciate the desire to have a quick fix for anything because we're trying to multitask so many different things going on in the world, in our personal lives, in our minds, in our hearts. It's crazy out there. And it's, the world is moving so fast that if you could just have a quick answer to one thing, it's like, oh, thank God. If I could just hold on to this crystal and everything would be fine, I will take it. So I hear that. But at the other side is that it's important for us, you know, to be clear that the personal work that you have to do isn't going to be pretty. And, you know, you guys were talking earlier about, well, it doesn't have to be hard. Well, it's true that it doesn't, but we've kind of really mixed up and gotten confused about what's hard and what's easy and what should be easy and what should be hard, instead of just being really present in what is.
Right.
And so why I feel like it's really important to point this stuff out is because we keep putting these labels on things. It's like, oh, this should be easy. So then when it's not easy, we get frustrated. And then we go, oh, this will be hard. And so we make it hard. Instead of just saying, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm dealing with. What are the tools that I have to deal with it? How can I work through this? These are like, this is the work part. And instead of doing the work part, we just look for, oh, it's hard, it's easy, and or it's fast, or it's slow, or whatever that is, and we don't really get into the nitty-gritty. So by pointing out, okay, like, wait a minute, there's a little more to this concept than those 142 characters. When you have a little bit of a deeper understanding of what that quote or what that message meant, the work is actually easier. You can get some more awareness. You can go, oh, I understand that. Part of that concept now, I can make it, I actually can make this work in my life. But when you only have a piece of it, it works against you.
And one of the things that came to mind when you were talking about that is that I think oftentimes in the New Age community, if we are experiencing pain, beyond the pain of, say, the death of a loved one,
If we're experiencing pain, then we think we're doing something wrong. I mean, and that's a generalization. But it's almost like the New Age movement has been so much about the higher frequency connection and the transcending the human experience. And I think that, Betsy, you're emphasizing embracing what is, so that when we're experiencing pain, it's like, well, okay, this is what it is. And it's not something to shift. It's something to be with.
Right. Well, it's something it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a myth. Like, one of the things that, you know, I'm a mom.
Uh-huh.
I have a 15-year-old and almost 12-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they've grown up in this world where we have this tendency to overparent, to not let them fail,
yeah,
to not let them struggle, to give everybody a prize.
Right.
And, you know, what's wrong with that is that we create this false sense that life is like this, you know, a day at Disneyland. And
mm-hmm.
when it's hard, we don't know how to deal with it. We
yeah.
don't know how to process it.
Right.
We don't have any emotional intelligence. And so we think when hard or painful is a bad thing. And, you know, I think somebody wrote about this in the book, I can't remember who now, this idea that when I feel sad or when I feel angry is a big one. Like,
mm-hmm.
anger is a bad emotion.
Yep.
And that's not true. And
yeah.
so now when I feel angry, not only do I feel angry, but I feel shame for feeling angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one of the myths I talk about in the top 20 myths. It's like we've categorized emotions as being either spiritual or ego-based. And
right.
anger, first of all, it's very illuminating. It either says one of two things. It says, okay, well, there's something that I've got some woundedness here I need to explore and heal, or two, I need to set new boundaries. And it's also this great energy that is coming through to sort of invigorate forward movement. So it's very powerful on our soul's journey. And yet we've act as though it's not spiritual. So,
Bernard, she talked about the pitfalls of positive thinking.
Uh-huh.
It just eliminates everything we really don't want to deal with and gives credibility to, well, if I just think positive, I've just got to keep jacking my emotions up and getting myself into the happy valley lane. And
mm-hmm.
it's just like, oh, my golly, we do ourselves such a disservice. And then we just add strain, because when we inevitably end up in the pits sometimes, and rightfully so, it's like, then what do? Then
yeah.
we judge ourselves
yep.
for being
yeah.
bad and wrong. Holy Moses.
So,
and the thing that Marie talks about is that, you know, positive thinking is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
mm-hmm.
great tool.
Uh-huh.
It's a powerful tool. But it's not, we've turned it into, like, you know, the ultimate whiteboard, you know, where we just use it as an eraser board of, like, let's
right.
not deal with my emotions. Let's
yeah.
just wipe it over. Actually, in the belief, I don't remember. Been a long time. I can't remember if this quote is actually in the bleep or if it's not in the bleep, but Michal Ledwith said, you know, we have this tendency to pour a pile of gold liquid over a pile of poo.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
there's still poo underneath the gold.
Yep.
It's just now gold poo.
Yes. And of course, that poo is the sort of thing that can get turned into fertilizer if you look for the growth and the transformation that can come from it. And that's sort of like looking at the positive side, but it's not about acting as though it doesn't exist or kind of resisting or setting it aside.
Well, it's important to say, you know, this is hard. My heart hurts.
Uh-huh.
This makes me sad. And it's okay to feel sad.
Yeah.
And then what I've found in my own personal life is people oftentimes say to me, you know, Betsy, you work through emotions pretty quickly. And I say, yeah, because I acknowledge them first.
Yes.
I sit down and I go, wow, I'm really sad.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to be sad.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is I don't get stuck in sadness for 10 days because I give it the time that it deserves right when it shows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my tool.
So,
you know?
So let me ask each of you this question. You know, you've both been on your spiritual journeys for decades. And so I'm wondering, if somebody cuts you off in traffic and it's really obnoxious, do you swear at them?
Sometimes. If they almost hit me, I do. But
uh-huh.
then I usually don't. But if they get into my personal space, then I'm like, whoa, dude, what up? But
yep.
that's about it.
Yep.
Yeah. depends on where I am during the day. You know, if I'm in a really uplifted mood and I'm in a very balanced place, uh-huh. then I just actually laugh.
Right.
But if I'm in one of those places where I feel fragile and I feel overworked and I feel stressed, then that's when, you know, then that's when the explosive reaction comes out and I just
right.
want to flip them the middle finger and, you know, yeah.
Right, right.
So it really depends on how even I'm keeping my keel.
And for me, and I've talked to a couple of friends who I think are very evolved about this, I find myself reacting, but not the kind of, like, reactivity where I'm such a victim. It's just kind of like, you know, don't do this here. You know, who do you think you are? You know, you're not that self-entitled. It's one thing if somebody makes an error and, like, they don't see you and they start to cut over in your lane. But the whole other thing where I saw somebody today, like, cutting in and out on the freeway, and it was scary as all get out. And I actually, you know, slowed down some so that if they got into an accident, I wouldn't be part of the pileup. And so it's almost like I react sometimes and I let it go quickly, but it's not like I'm stuck in my victimhood and really angry for a long time, which
but
is
that's
different.
That's a great metaphor for life, if you don't mind me interrupting.
No, please.
Because that's a perfect metaphor for life. Because I do the same thing. If you think about it, it's okay that you got angry.
Yeah.
But you also had the wherewithal and the presence to slow down to not get in the pileup.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the things I think that people, I've come to learn myself, is that I'm multidimensional. I can be annoyed that the driver cut me off, but I can also be present in awareness of, well, what are the choices I need to make right now to protect myself, set
mm-hmm.
boundaries.
Right.
And also still react.
Yep.
You know, because that's what happens when you can be multidimensional and you can be in a couple of different spaces simultaneously, which we're capable of doing. You know,
absolutely.
I can be really angry at somebody and still be present with my anger and then also not have to react in rage.
Mm-hmm.
I can go, wow, I'm really angry.
Uh-huh.
It's okay to be angry. Now, what are my choices around responding to this anger?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you don't have the practice to go, okay, I'm angry, if you just go right to anger, you don't have that ability to choose a response because
yeah.
it's like it happens so quickly. But so for me and for you and for everybody, we can go, oh my gosh, that jerk,
uh-huh.
but still be slowing down, changing lanes, backing up, or doing whatever we need to do
mm-hmm.
without having any judgment on our ours and or our other actions simultaneously.
Yeah, and let it go quickly.
And let it go quickly.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's one of the big things is as we go along, we become more self-reflective
uh-huh.
and gentler with ourselves and kinder because the more we accept ourselves and our own, as you say, multidimensionality, Betsy, which includes our ratty moments and our sublime moments, and we're more understanding of what drives other people because we're kinder and more understanding of what's driving us
mm-hmm.
and where we can go. So it's so much easier now for me to let it go. Yeah, I'll have a quick flare of anger, maybe, but
mm-hmm.
it's just like, and then I can laugh and go, yeah, boy, I understand being a jerk. Been
uh-huh.
there, done that.
Yeah.
I get it, dude.
Well, and I want to, if we have time, I'll jump
yeah,
in.
No,
I'm not a big fan of saying let it go quickly, and here's why. A lot of people don't have any boundaries because they let it go.
Yeah.
They just let everything go. For me, if I get angry, there's a reason behind it. So I'm not going to let go of the reason that I got angry. What I do is check in with it.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I angry?
Right.
Am I angry because of this person's actions triggered something within me that is personal to me and really doesn't have anything to do with them?
Uh-huh.
Or is my anger reaction based on their behavior?
Right.
And the other thing I do now, which gets me in a lot of trouble, is if they're being a jerk, I will tell them, hey, I don't appreciate the way you're treating me. It's
yeah.
bothering me. It's,
uh-huh.
I communicate that.
Yeah.
Because if that's the other part of the spiritual, is that we have this tendency to go, oh, we're supposed to be more enlightened than everybody else,
right.
so therefore we don't react.
And
once again, that's shutting down.
It is.
Shutting down.
It's interesting that Brené Brown's research has shown that the most compassionate people also happen to be the most boundaried. Which
right.
says a lot for if we want to step into that love, that spiritual connection with others, that those boundaries are really important. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more, and we're going to hear more about All You Need Is Love, the book, and some of the memes in the chapters, and how you can get a hold of the book. Stay tuned.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breaths to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Calling all moms. It's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, and loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power at work, home, and play. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms, helping everyday women create extraordinary lives every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit VibrantPowerfulMoms.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change. Back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You can listen to this archive after the fact on Transformation Talk Radio, on one of, 50 different podcasts, iTunes, and ChristineUpchurch.com. I'm talking to award-winning filmmaker and best-selling author Betsy Chassey, and best-selling author, amazing editor, writer, with a fascinating background, Kate Montana. And we are talking about this new book. They are, it's coming out through their company, Rampant Feline Media. And I first have to say, before we talk more about the book, I'm just curious about the title of you guys' company. Betsy, why did you name it that?
All right, so it's all my fault. A very long time ago, in a distant galaxy, far, far away, way in my 20s, when I started my production company, I was 22 and I started my very first production company. I'm just going to lay it all out there because it's probably shocking that a girl who was once very, very successful in the world of schlock B movies and porn is now one of the most successful spiritual booty makers and authors, right? So way back in my Playboy and porn days, I started my own production company because at the time, Christy Hefner took over Playboy, and she wanted more women in roles of leadership.
Uh-huh.
And so at 22, I started my very first production company, and my best friend had given me these pair of earrings from MoMA, and they were little Aztec kitties, and they called them rampant felines. And I just was sitting there, and I said, what shall I name my company? And I was staring at those earrings, and I thought, rampant felines. And then I got it literally tattooed on my leg. So I sort of buried rampant feline when I decided that I was going to be spiritual. This is a perfect example
Right.
of spiritual bypassing. Is I thought, I can't use rampant feline media anymore because that's the, you know, that's what I used to use when I produced B-movies and porn. So when Kate and I were rebuilding this company again and starting this, I said, you know, that company, that's my birth. That's my, that is my stepping into who I am as a creator and a producer and a woman who succeeds. And so I decided, I said, Kate, we tried all these different names.
Oh, we came up with 100 really, really bad names. I mean, we spent months racking our brains, going through the thesaurus, trying to figure out really cool, spiritual, whatever, inclusive names, and came up with nada.
So I said, Kate, what about this? And she just said, you know what? So our logo is literally that one of the earrings. It's the logo of one of the earrings that I got.
Oh, that's a fabulous story. I love that.
And I love cats, so there we have it. And I'm a Leo, so I had to go with that, absolutely.
Yeah, I love cats, too. You know, I've got three of them. And
I know you do.
It's a sort of thing where, you know, in social media, I've got sort of this alter ego. You know, part of me is this wise person who shares some things and, yes, pushes against some of the norms. And then there's the crazy cat lady.
Listen, I think it's our right to be crazy cat lady.
It is, and it's wonderful. It's like it's our right to be whoever we are. And, you know, I think that, and I know, Kate, you and I have talked about this in the past. We women tried to fit into the male world by proving ourselves that we could be as good as men in certain ways. And, of course, I'm from a scientific background, you know, a research statistician working in what once was a very male-centric, male-dominated industry. And then it's like, wait a minute, this isn't satisfying. There are issues here, first of all, with trying to be like that, and then secondly, what does that mean for our society? Kate, you want to take that on?
You know, I'm going to admit, I spaced out. I was picking up cat fur off the floor.
Okay, so you get the title of crazy cat lady. Betsy?
Betsy, Jesus, save me. Now you guys confused me. I'm telling you, I was like listening, and then I heard cat. I was like, what? We went back to cat?
Talking about how we women were trying to fit into the male world, and and certainly filmmaking was once one all male.
Huh? I got to say a little something. I'm going to possibly upset some feminists right now.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Slightly.
Let's push some buttons. Go ahead.
You know, I became a line producer when there were literally maybe three line producers in the movie business. Ironically, two of them named Betsy, which I thought was really interesting because I very rarely connect with other Betsy.
But there were three total or three women? Three.
And most of them were men.
Okay.
And I spent my 20s in, first of all, I'm 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, in those ages. I'm 5'2". I'm blonde. And I spent my 20s, what?
And cute.
Well, I spent my 20s in rooms full of men talking about money.
Interesting.
And the reality is, was I acutely aware of my womanhood? No. What I realized was that this is all a game. All of this is a game. Everything. And you have to play the game. And so did I learn how to do the naughty jokes? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Did I laugh when people made some sort of condescending remark to me? Sure. Was I able to respond? Absolutely. And you know, I'm not going to say that other women didn't experience this because millions have.
Right.
But what I want people to understand is I'm no longer willing to diminish my power by saying I had to try to be like men. I showed up into the game.
Yep.
And I
laughed all the way to the bank, right?
Well, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ask for my. I've never had a problem asking for my worth or what I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for that. I'm lucky that I was raised by parents who you know taught me not to tolerate any of that stuff.
Right.
Just not to tolerate it. It's unfortunate that a lot of women weren't given that power or for some reason had it taken away. And I wanted to say this. I was molested as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sexual trauma when I was 8 years old.
Yeah. Sorry.
So I understand childhood trauma and what that can do to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed that I was able to get help pretty early in life
right.
so that I was able to process that. So
mm-hmm.
that it didn't impact. Now, in my personal relationships, it's a totally different story. Those are a mess.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But in business, you know, I got it. Like, I didn't take it. One of the things that we do is we take everything so personally.
Yeah.
I'm picking up my phone and I can't turn it off. We take things too personally.
Right.
We are such egomaniacal, crazy people that everything in the world has to be about us.
Right.
And one of the greatest lessons I learned really early on from a wonderful producing mentor was, guess what? 99% of the time it's not about you, it's about them.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't take it personally and you just continue back with them, most people back off because they realize they didn't get in.
Uh-huh.
And that's a tool, again, one of the things that we need, why we wrote this book, is it's all about giving people all the information so you have the tool so you have the information to use the tool.
Right.
I mean, it sounds really unhuman and, you know, unspiritual, but I operate from life as, like, my brain is a tool.
Uh-huh.
I have all sorts of tools in my little toolbox.
Right.
So I get to choose the tools. I learn new tools. I learn how to use new tools, and I operate from there. And that helps me get through a lot of these very awkward, sticky, random situations
mm-hmm.
because I don't – the first thing is I don't take it – I don't accept it. I don't take it in.
Right.
And then I can process it and go, oh, wow, this person's really – this man is really insecure by me.
Uh-huh.
And so he's going to try to belittle me.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not going to take it on. And then I'm going to do my job really well, and I'm going to zing him a few times just so everybody in the room knows that I'm smarter than him. And we'll move on. And that's pretty much how it worked for me and continues to work for me.
Fascinating, fascinating. You know, we're going to be going to a break in a minute. And I know, Betsy, you're going to have to get off the line, and Kate and I are going to continue this conversation. But before we go into break, I want you to share with our listeners how they can connect with you. A little bit of what you offer, and so what's your website?
Gosh, I want everybody to go check out rampantfelinemedia.com because
uh-huh.
that's where they'll find me. That's where they're going to find Kate. That's where they're going to find all of our books and all of our projects. They can find us on social media, Instagram, and Facebook. I don't really do Twitter. There's only so much a girl can do.
Yeah.
And that's how they can find us. If they want to find the book, just go to Amazon or I always say this. I highly encourage you, if you have a favorite bookstore that's a bookstore in your community, go in there and ask them for the book by name or go to Amazon, steal the ISBN number, and go order it from your bookstore. One, that helps us because the bookstore starts to become aware of our books. And two, it actually helps the bookstore. And I am a big fan of being able to go into a bookstore and browse books. So that's how you get the book.
I love the brick and mortar bookstores too, yeah. Okay, great. Great. Rampant Feline Media, and we're going to head into a break. Thanks so much, Betsy, for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay tuned, because Kate's still here, and so am I, and so is Mr. Benny Mathers. I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them, although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades. Science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which, in scientific terms, is known as the biosphere.
Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Join Angie Corbett-Kuiper on her hit show, Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbettKuiper.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truths as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
I wanna fall back down.
Welcome back to the Kristen Eptridge Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. We're continuing the conversation with Kate Montana here. And Kate, during the break, you were talking about Kate Rogers' chapter here in the book. Can you share a little bit more about it?
Yeah, it was called I, Goddess. And it, you know, one of the things that I wanted to have explored in the book, and I was so glad she stepped in and did this, was I wanted to explore this whole goddess idea, because so much of what I've seen of the goddess movement in the whole new spiritual arena is this kind of fluffy, airy-fairy, you know, let's all sing hands and you know, around a campfire and sing kumbaya version of the goddess. And,
right.
You know, and of course, we looked at Shakti and Kali energy and Pele and all the other different faces of the goddess, and I've always been like, oh, my God, there is so much missing in our kind of fluffy, again, cliched approach to this topic. And Kate Rogers just stepped right in, and she had had an amazing experience at a huge women's conference, and the keynote speaker was the executive editor of Ms. Magazine, Catherine Spiller. And Kate wrote about how shocked she was that, bless her heart, as wonderful as this woman has been, and, you know, as, you know, I bow to her for her amazing, intrepid work over the decades.
Uh-huh.
But she was still doing a call to battle against the evil guys who were trying to, you know, subdue and marginalize and exploit us sexually.
Wow.
And she was like, oh, my God, haven't we moved past this marginalization and conflict and making the guys wrong? And she's like, what is the goddess? She said the goddess, the priestess, is this full, compassionate, filled with righteous anger even,
uh-huh,
you know, being who is capable of rising up, like the flame-haired goddess, Pele, and say, this is wrong, this has to change, this and this and this,
mm-hmm.
and yet have compassion and realize the masculine has been as deeply wounded.
Yes.
So, you know, the goddess is also a healer. And so I was just so glad that she stepped in the book. Like, so many of the authors just had such amazing things to say, I mean, about the goddess, about, oh, here's one. Everything happens for a reason.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't that one stink?
Everything happens for a reason. So, you know, Sharon Valentine took that on.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
Then you talked about, oh, my God.
Downside to seeking, yeah.
Downside to seeking.
Yeah.
And so we had chapters on, you know, seeking enlightenment and the wisdom of doing that. And even, oh, God, I'll confess, even my own chapter questioning the existence of the very existence of the soul itself.
Yeah. And I think that these are really important topics to explore, to discuss, to write about, to be fearless enough to question our beliefs and what would happen if we let go of one of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it was Betsy who said earlier in the show that, you know, so many of us came out of Christian religion, and when we broke free, I certainly thought that I'd found the truth.
Uh-huh.
You know, and all I did was step into a bigger box.
Right. Exactly. And I do think that we have to be willing to jump out of the box and be by ourselves, or, you know, be with just very few people, because it's the only way to eventually teach people who are still in the box that they're in a box.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And here we are back to comfort and certainty again. I think on one of the breaks I mentioned Tony Robbins said that the desire, the need, the almost desperate need for certainty is humanity's number one driving force.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm going to step out of the certainty of, you know, Jesus Christ is my Savior,
mm-hmm.
and then start embracing a much, you know, the Buddha and other kinds of thinking and embracing reincarnation and God knows what else, it's like that is a huge blow to my security system.
Right.
So to move into that bigger box, wow, what a journey and how brave of us. And yet then we fall back into that, oh, well, now I know the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now I can feel safe being certain. And then we stop midway up the mountain, and we don't continue.
And I think that, though, we're getting at this to the stage. It's similar from my perspective to where we were at around the time of the Vietnam War, post-Vietnam War, when people were fed up with the status quo, people were looking for more. They were forcefully breaking down the sides of their own belief boxes and expanding.
Yeah.
And that started the New Age movement. I think what's happening right now, Kate, is that many people who've been on their conscious journeys, who feel like they're here to help shift the world, they're looking at the world and saying, what the heck is going on here? They're feeling frustrated. And I do think that many people are ready to say, I don't know what's on the other side of that box, but here, I'm going to break this down because it's no longer, the certainty is no longer comforting.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we are these beautiful, bright spirits, and our very nature and the very nature of life itself is expansion and growth and evolution. More, give me more.
Right.
So, you know, we can only stay stuck in even a very large box for so long, thank goodness.
Uh-huh. Yep. Exactly. So,
I mean, you know, 15 years ago, Christine, if you'd asked me any question in the book, I could have given you the answer.
Sure.
You could have said, Kate, what about reincarnation? What about the soul?
Yep.
What about this? What about that? Where do we come from? Where are we going?
Right.
I would have told you, well, this, and this, and I would have been absolutely certain of my answer.
Right. It's kind of humbling when we understand how wrong we've been, isn't it?
Oh, God. It is, but it's so liberating.
It is. And
to actually realize, and this is part of developing the feminine nature, is part of the feminine is the mysterious.
Yeah.
It is really almost unknowable and unlanguageable. Intuition and vulnerability and receptivity and magnetism. It's just like, yeah, we have words for it, but the feminine is ultimately deeply, deeply mysterious. So I was laughing with a friend of mine the other day, and I was like, I never thought at 67, having written all these books and done all this stuff, that I would be embracing the freedom and the joy of being able to look somebody in the eye and go, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing.
Uh-huh. I love that.
I know where I'm intending to go.
Uh-huh.
I think this is the direction I want to go in, and all of my work and efforts and thoughts are going in that direction, but I don't know how it's going to unfold, and I'm not even going to try anymore to force the river and make anything happen.
And that's such an important part, and that I brought that up in The Downside to Seeking, about that striving and struggle does not allow that flow of the river. It's like damming up that river, and if we are really going to be connected to all of who we are, including that higher frequency vibration that we often, I think, refer to as the spirit or the soul, we have to sort of open that up.
Yeah, exactly. And then when we do that, as uncomfortable and uncertain as it might be and is, it's like, oh, my God, all of a sudden the burden is off.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have to have the answers anymore. I can admit to my show host, I was picking up cat hair off the floor and I didn't hear what you asked me.
And we're going to end with that. Kate, what's your website?
Well, mine is Kate Montana, www.katewithacmontana.com, but I'm going to be like Betsy and direct people. Go to rampantfelinemedia.com.
Yes.
And as I say, Betsy's on there, everything she does, everything I do, all of our books.
Fabulous.
And this has been, and Christine, I just have to say, it has been such a wonderful thing having you in this book. It's just been so much fun playing with you and developing this. The Downside to Seeking was such a meaty topic, and I just want to tell everybody that Christine did a great job.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.